in your seat, I found this really cool video on Facebook this week. I saw it in one of my friend's status updates, and they shared it on their wall. And I thought it was very, very cool and very fitting for just to kind of lead into what I want to talk about tonight. So just direct your attention to the screens, and we'll check this out.
I think we all need a pep talk. The world needs you to stop being boring. Yeah, you. Boring is easy. Everybody can be boring, but you're gooder than that. Life is not a game, people. Life isn't a cereal either. Well, it is a cereal. And if life is a game, aren't we all on the same team? I mean, really, right? I'm on your team. You're my team. This is life, people. You got air coming through your nose. You got heartbeat. That means it's time to do something. A poem. Two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the road less traveled.
It hurt, man!
Really bad.
Rocks, thorns, and glass.
My pants broke.
Wah!
Not cool, Robert Frost. But roads that really were two paths. I won't be in the one that leads to awesome. It's like that dude Journey said, don't stop believing, unless you dream stupid. Then you should get a better dream. I think that's how it goes. Get a better dream and keep going. Keep going, keep going, and keep going. Will Michael Jordan have quit? Well, he did quit. But he retired. Yeah, yes, he retired. But before that, in high school, what if he quit when he didn't make the team? He would have never made Space Jam. And I love Space Jam. What will be your Space Jam? What will you create will make the world awesome? Nothing if you keep sitting there. That's why I'm talking to you today. This is your time. This is my time. It's our time. We can make every day better for each other. If we're all on the same team, let's start acting like it. We got work to do. We can cry about it or we can dance about it. We were made to be awesome. Let's get out there. I don't know everything. I'm just a kid. But I do know this. So everybody's due to give the world a reason to dance. So get to it. You've just been pep talked. Create something that will make the world awesome. Play ball.
There you go. Create something that will make the world awesome. Really, what if there were two paths, he says. I prefer to be on the path to awesome. Anybody saw that this week? Anybody see that video? Already watched it? I put it on my wall. I just watched it over and over. Karis watched it several times. Right, Karis? Yeah, you like that, didn't we? So here's the deal. If you're gonna be awesome, if you're gonna give the world a reason to dance, if you're gonna make the world a better place, you have to understand one thing, this one truth I want to get to you tonight, and it's this. Passion predicts pursuit. Everybody say that. Passion predicts pursuit. What I mean by that, basically, whatever you're passionate about, that's what you're going to pursue. So get a passion. Not just a passion, get the passion. You see, whatever you're passionate about, that's what you're going to pursue. You'll spend your time thinking about it. You'll spend your energy chasing after it. You'll spend your money trying to attain it. What is passion? Anybody give me like a quick definition. What is passion? What do you think passion is? Trey, what's passion, man? You're passionate about some stuff. Whoa, I like that, man. Somebody went, been reading Webster this week. Overzealous drive to seek after something. What's some other synonyms or brief definition you might have for passion? Chris? Somebody actually is reading Webster right now from their phone. Nice. Oh, I like this definition. Strong desire. Passion is basically a strong desire, and a synonym is zeal, which I like how Trey used that in his definition there. And I love this because zeal implies energetic an unflagging pursuit of an aim or devotion to a cause. Let me repeat that. It implies energetic and unflagging pursuit of an aim or devotion to a cause. And I love that because it really gives this image of the fact that you're going after something and nothing's going to deter you from getting it. Nothing's going to stand in your way. There may be obstacles that try to prevent you from reaching said aim or goal, but nothing is going to stand in your way because you have this unflagging pursuit of it, that you're so passionate about it that you're going to stop at nothing to attain it. So what are you passionate about? Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or the lack thereof and trying to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's sports. Anybody passionate about the 49ers or whoever else is playing in the Super Bowl tomorrow? You can tell that's not one of my passions. I doubt I'll even be watching unless somebody invites me over for some chicken wings. I am passionate about those. seriously, who else is in the Super Bowl? Right, okay. Baltimore Ravens. So some of you have been following these teams. Maybe you're passionate about not just following a specific sports team, but maybe playing sports yourself. Maybe you're passionate about music. Maybe a day doesn't go by where you don't, you know, pop in your headphones from your smartphone or your iPod or whatever, and you have to listen to your music. Maybe you're passionate about politics. Anybody in here about that? Maybe you're passionate about coffee.
Yeah.
There you go. You know every blend of coffee that Starbucks has to offer and their varying aromas and flavors. Trey? Kid doesn't come in here without a Starbucks up in his hand. Seriously. I can tell he's passionate about it. Maybe you're passionate about family. All right. Maybe you're passionate about finer Carolina doodles. Maybe you're passionate about church. Maybe you're passionate about God. I hope you are. Here's the deal. I can likely tell within 15 seconds of looking at your Facebook wall what you're passionate about. I'm going to do a social experiment. How many of you have smartphones? Go ahead and log into your Facebook app real quick. Oh, sorry. How do you spend your time spying on people if you don't have Facebook? Log into Facebook. What I want you to do is pick, look at two of your, and if you don't have a smartphone or Facebook, get up close to somebody, look over somebody's shoulder. I want you to do this. Look at two of your friends. Go to your friends. Just pick one for now. Pick one of your friends and go to their page. All right, I'm gonna pick my brother. Who's it, Grayson? I'm gonna look up Grayson's page. Uh-oh, we looking at Facebook pages all in church. All right, you're gonna look at one of your friends' Facebook pages and tell me what they're passionate about. Have you gotten there yet? Oh, called him out. What is Sebastian passionate about?
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. Is this true? Okay. All right. Who else?
Their kids.
All right. Their kids. Okay. Josh.
I have to look on my Facebook. Most of my friends are passionate about their music.
Okay. Music. All right. Good. What are you guys seeing over here?
Neil is passionate about Christ.
That's pretty cool. Somebody's checking out your Facebook page. Yep. Grayson is passionate about his brother, family, and his dogs. All right.
My brother, JROTC.
Say that again.
ROTC.
ROTC. All right. He's passionate about JROTC. All right. Cool. Who else? Sebastian.
Snapbacks.
All right. I don't know what those are, but that's cool. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. Man, I'm showing my... Oh, Karis. I'm like, what do you see, Karis?
Miss Mala is passionate about her family.
Passionate about her family. All right. Very cool. Did anybody look up Bubba? I saw Bubba walk in. Hey, buddy.
Oh, his iPad.
He's passionate about... Do you get a new iPad? You got a tablet?
Bubba is passionate about his girlfriend. You see that on his profile picture right there? Who you got? Oh, no. We can't jump the gun here. We're going to put mine on the screen and let everybody take a guess. You got it? Hey. It's not me. Okay, so here's me. Anybody know what I'm passionate about? P90X, exercise, my wife. Okay, there you go. My daughter. What else? Bad kid, I'm really passionate about that video. Somebody posted on my wall. I don't look at that. That probably needs to be removed. I have no idea what that is. Here's my daughter, my family, my nephews, Martin Luther King. Okay. So, a lot of those things have to do with church. Passionate about that. So, that's kind of just a social experiment. You don't know Jack. I do play that app on my phone every day. Because it reminds me of my high school days. They had that game out when I was in high school. And me and my brother used to play each other on it. It's a trivia game. Okay. So what?
It was a horror game, not on your phone.
No. It was a computer-based game. It's a PC game. Like on one of those big old floppy disks. No, there's this CD-ROM. So do that, kind of do that this week. Maybe, you know, check out some of your friends and see, ask yourself, what are they passionate about? More importantly, look at your own Facebook page and see, what am I communicating to others about what I'm passionate about? And if you don't, here's another aside here. If you don't want your Facebook profile shown on the screen, at church, or what is on your Facebook profile shown on the screen at church, you should probably be careful what you're posting. All right, there you go. And speaking of Facebook, if we were as passionate about the Holy Book as we are about Facebook, we'd see some of our pursuits start to change. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, and I've been guilty of this myself. What's the first thing that you look at on your phone when you wake up in the morning? Okay, your alarm, text. What is, okay, one of the first things that you look? Everybody say Facebook or Twitter or, okay, your games. I play Rizzle. Instagram, if you're into that. But what if we, instead of looking at those things, what if we pulled out our Bible app? I started reading in the Word. You know, what would that say about us? I'd like to point your passion in another direction this evening. Turn to Psalm 42. We'll put it on the screen if you don't have your Bible. I know you got your smartphone handy, and instead of continuing to peruse through your friends' pages, you could pull up your Bible app, your YouVersion, and pull it up to Psalm 42. Verses 1 through 2 in the New Living, it says this: "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God." And I love this imagery because David paints this picture of a deer panting, longing for water. And you imagine this in, imagine a deer out in the woods and hasn't had water for a while. It's been off on a good run, frolicking through the forest, and it's thirsty, right? Anybody ever been thirsty, like really parched? Like maybe you've gone on a run. Neil went on a run today. Maybe you take your camel back with you probably, and you're like good to go. But after exercising, yeah, you're all strapped in there. After exercising or doing something very strenuous, maybe some of you play basketball or football, and you're on the field, and you come running off, and the first thing you want is water, right? Or oxygen, depending on how out of shape you are. But when you, this is the imagery that David paints of this is how bad I long for God. I thirst for God like this deer thirsts for water. Anybody saw the, anybody ever seen the Hunger Games? You saw the Hunger Games movie? Like Katniss out in the woods. Like, what's his face? The, no, Haymus. Hamage? I read all three books. I can't remember his stinking name. Anyway, the mentor. Hamage. Jidge. He tells her, what is was the first piece of advice that he gives them? Find water, right? Find water. Don't go for the weapons. Go for the water. And this is, and you see her out in the woods in one scene in the movie where she's just like thirsting. Literally thirsting to death. You know? And if we can have a desire for God as much as Katniss was desiring water in that scene, then our pursuits will start to change. Our pursuits will really change. How about this? Anybody ever seen a greyhound race? What is the greyhound, what is the greyhound chasing after? A rabbit, right? And so I just kind of illustrate it this way. The greyhound is passionate about rabbits. Okay. Hungry. Likes to eat them. And so what drives that greyhound to run around the track is its passion to catch the rabbit, right? Now, I just read in the news, this happened several years ago in Australia. There was a greyhound race, and in the middle of the greyhound race, a real rabbit comes on the track, right? And so one of the dogs named Jenny Lou starts chasing after the real rabbit instead of the fake one, so they had to call off the whole race and refund people's wagers of up to like $28,000 or something like that. Because they had to cancel that match. But even in our pursuits, maybe you're pursuing the wrong thing, and then the real thing comes along, and you can divert your attention and pursue after the right thing. And so many of us, I believe, we've been pursuing the wrong things. It may look like it's what we want, but what would happen? I mean, I think the greyhound would be sorely disappointed to catch the fake rabbit, right? You working so hard to get after this rabbit, and in the end, it's a fake. It's a counterfeit. It looks like a rabbit. They may have even sprayed rabbit pheromones or something on there. It may smell like a rabbit, but it sure don't taste like a rabbit. The greyhound is going to be disappointed in what he finds and really like upset about this pursuit that he's been on to get this rabbit when he finds out that it's all been worth nothing. And I think many of us, if we don't change our pursuits, we'll get to the end of our lives and we'll look back and say, well, that was just all for nothing. What a waste. Wasted all my time, my energy, my money, pursuing the wrong thing. Paul put it this way in Philippians 3, verse 7. He said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. I love that. Now I once had this idea that these things were valuable. That these things were priceless even. But now they're worthless because of what Christ has done. Or things that he was going after, things that he was pursuing, that things that he was passionate about. But once he met Christ, those things changed. His passions changed and his pursuits changed as a result. Now, I think it could be pretty easy for us to change some of our pursuits. It really could. We just have to change our passions because passion predicts pursuit. And there was a time in my life where I was really passionate about video games. Like, I mean, I could actually beat somebody in Call of Duty, even though they didn't have Call of Duty, but Metal Gear Solid? Oh, yeah. No, I wasn't ever good at Halo. But Metal Gear Solid, I was the man at that. Nobody even knows what I'm talking about. Oh, I got a witness? Amen? Amen? All right. See that hand. So we would play, I mean, we would play until this was when I was in college, we'd play into the wee hours of the morning, forsaking all homework and whether there was tests or quizzes or whatever, sleeping through classes, because we'd stayed up late playing these video games. And that was what I was passionate about. So I spent my time doing those things, right? But then I got married. And those passions tried to come along into my marriage, and there were nights where I would be playing Max Payne, what is it, one of those video games, right? Shoot 'em up, you know, go on these missions, whatever. And there was a point where my passion about video games had to change if I was going to continue to pursue my wife. I couldn't be passionate about video games because I'd be pursuing those video games. I really needed to be passionate about my wife so I could continue pursuing her. And this change didn't happen as a result of me saying, boy, I really need to change. It happened as a result of her saying, man, you really need to change. Because she's sitting on the couch and watching me play video games, and that's boring for her. I was having a blast, you know, and she's like, searing right a hole right through the back of my head, like, put down the controller. So there was an outside force that caused that passion to change. Now I could care less if I ever played another video game. I know. Some of you guys are like, I could never see myself doing that. And it was funny because I was at the, you saw a picture of me with a couple doing their wedding, and there was a young man there that was sitting at one of the tables at the reception, and his parents were pretty disappointed because he hadn't gotten married yet, because 26, 27 years old, which is still not that old, you know, to be like, oh, you have to get married kind of thing. But they were so disappointed because, and pointed out the reason that he hadn't gotten married, because he was so addicted to his video games. I was like, yikes. And so he says, well, I want to find a girl who's a gamer. You know, that's what he's waiting for. God help him. Maybe he needs to change some of his passions, right? Maybe. Maybe you need to change some of your passions. Think about the scene in the movie Elf. Anybody saw that with Will Ferrell? One of the greatest Christmas movies recent times. There have been some classics over the years. Hilarious movie, but there's a scene in there where he's at the mall, and he's supposed to be, they think he's supposed to be working there, and the boss comes up to him and is like, you know, giving him what for, Santa's coming tomorrow, blah, 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 and the whole thing, Santa, I know him, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Buddy the Elf is just like smiling, like just got this huge smile on his face, and the manager looks at him, he's like, why are you smiling? Quit smiling. And he goes, smiling's my favorite. Keeps smiling. He says, no, 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 work's your favorite. Make work your favorite. You know? And so Buddy was passionate about smiling, being happy, being joyful, cutting up paper snowflakes and all that good stuff. But the manager wanted him to change his passion so he could pursue something else and actually do the job that he thought he was there to do. And so, some of you are saying, video games are my favorite. Boys, girls are my favorite. Relationships are my favorite. Family is my favorite. Politics are my favorite. Hopefully you're not saying that. Music's my favorite. Sports are my favorite. Coffee's my favorite. Church is my favorite. And God's looking down, he said, I'm your favorite. Make me your favorite. Make me your favorite. You know, one of the relationships that my brother had when we were in college, They didn't do this whole thing where they said, I love you. What they did was they said, instead of I love you, they'd say to each other, you're my favorite. And it had this implication of, you know, I'm passionate about you. This thing of, I have really strong feelings for you, but I'm not ready to say those three magical words that'll change our lives forever. Instead, I have these other three words that are a slightly lamer. You're my favorite. And so they would say that to each other, but it had this idea that they were enamored with each other, that they had this relationship. They wanted to be with each other. And so, maybe we need to have that type of relationship in an even greater way with our Heavenly Father, that He's our favorite, that we love Him, that we want to be with Him, that we want to pursue Him in the same way that He has pursued us, because God's passionate about us. He went to great lengths to pursue us and to rescue us when we were under the sway of the enemy, when we lied under His hand. He went to the very depths of hell to rescue us, to redeem us, to ransom us, to set us free, to get us out of the rule of the wicked one. So you can change your passion. And by changing your passion, you'll change what you're pursuing. And by changing what you're pursuing, you'll change what you end up having. You'll change your destination, change your destiny. And how do we do that? Philippians 2:13. We'll close this part with this. Philippians 2:13, it says this, for God is working in you, giving you the desire, everybody say passion, giving you the desire, the passion and the power to do what pleases Him. So passion predicts pursuit. And from this verse, we see that God has given you the passion to pursue Him, or at least He wants to. And I believe He's already been, that it's already been made available to you, already in your recreated, born again human spirit. This passion is already within you to pursue Him. So He's given you not only the passion to pursue Him, but He's also given you the power to please Him. God has given you the passion to pursue Him and the power to please Him. That's good news tonight. Because as God's looking down from heaven, or looking out from within you saying, make me your favorite, I'm your favorite, He's given us this passion to pursue Him. He's changing our passions. And by changing our passions, He's changing our pursuits. So we no longer count worldly things, secular things as valuable or as priceless, but we lay those things aside to reach after something better. Just like years ago, I put down the video game controller, got rid of my PlayStation 2. Yeah, it's a sad day. It's a great day, right? I got rid of that. And because I couldn't hold on to this and continue to grow in my marriage, we wouldn't be spending time together because I'd be over here playing all my games, right? And so there comes a point in your life, I think there could be a defining moment happening for you tonight even, where you decide, I'm going to let go of some of these things to pursue God and His plan, to be passionate about Him. And, you know, sadly, I think you guys get a kind of a bad rap for not being passionate about anything, for not having anything that you're passionate about, to the point where you're willing to, you know, have this zeal, this energetic and unflagging pursuit of something. But I believe that this generation, your generation, can be just as passionate as generations in years past, if not even more so. I believe you have it within you to be a generation that really is passionate about God and pursues Him. I don't know what it is, but like, where do we lose it? You know what I'm saying? I've got a 4-year-old. Karis is here. And if you saw one of my posts a while back, you see her playing on her piano, just singing her little heart out, glory to God, glory to God. And she's just doing it with everything that's in her, right? And she's got this amazing amount of passion when it comes to worship and singing and stuff. And she's, I mean, at that time, she's 3 years old. And you see that at some point, what happens, you know? Like, I pray this never happens to Karis, where she loses that passion and, like, it wanes. But, you know, just like in worship and in prayer and all of those things, we can't, if you've lost that passion that you had maybe when you were a kid, it's time to get it back. You know? It's time to make God your favorite. He's your favorite. I hope that helped you tonight, and I want to minister to you guys and see if.